Hey everyone, it's Between the Lines, a post-mini-camp, post-off-season version of Between the Lines, brought to you by Gatorade, yours truly, joined by Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen.
What up, Bobby?
What's up? The 10 or 11-ish week-long off-season program, including the mandatory mini-camp, is over.
Well, it's final day of school-like for the players, and maybe to a certain extent the coaches, a day like this Thursday at Winter Park, because now, after going through the off-season workout, organized team activities, the mandatory minicamp for the rookies, the rookie camp, and the draft process, they get to chill out till we go to Mankato for training camp. Now, the chill-out process is not like feet in white sand for a month and a half at Turks and Caicos. There can be a certain amount of time that they get to chill, but the Y's generally start ramping things up right after the 4th of July. Yeah. Because especially with this team, I had Mike Zimmer on my radio show, KFAN.com, if you're interested in listening to it. And we were talking about the depth of the position battles he has this year. And into his fourth year, there, I mean, from a linebacker spot to a second safety, special teams battles, which running back's going to carry at most and why, third or fourth receiver. If you come to camp nearing the end of July and you've been Turks and Caicos-ing it, you'll get beat.
Yeah, that will not pay off for you. Now, I think this was like the off-season program is like a studying session or a tutoring session for training camp. Yep. No answers to position battles
or
questions. That will happen in Mankato and here at Winter Park when they come back from Mankato. But we do have a little bit of a lead on some of the stories. And I think Laquan Treadwell really impressed a lot of people around here. And I'm excited to watch him in Mankato.
No, he did. You know, and Xavier Rhodes joined my radio show, final day of minicamp. I've talked to Stephon Diggs about him. I've talked to Sam Bradford and Zimmer about him. And everybody is saying the right thing. And, you know, when they talk to me off the microphone specifically, I'm hearing unbelievably positive things about Laquan Treadwell. We remember through the Vikings Entertainment Network all the way back earlier in organized team activities, Vikings.com, Treadwell getting by Xavier Rhodes and catching that deep one from Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
But let's be realistic here. Off a one-catch season, the fact that Laquan is more engaged on the field, in the huddle, and behind the scenes, and his route running is crisper. There's no doubt about it. Until we get to bump and run with training camp, the preseason games, and the regular season, you can't put a blanket on Laquan until we see it with somebody right up on him in contact drills. And quite honestly, I think he's going to beat it. I think he's going to step up and assert himself as somebody who will play quite a bit on this team, but we still need to see it.
Agreed. The one thing I really like watching all the highlights on Vikings.com is Laquan is catching passes from Sam Bradford.
Right.
Not the backup quarterback and not the third string quarterback, which means he's getting the first team opportunities.
Well, they're giving him that.
Great. Right.
Now he has to grab it and run with it when it's bump and run. I mean, here in organized team activities, because there's no contact, they're right here. We go to Leslie Frazier's defense at Buffalo or Pete Carroll's defense at Seattle or Zimmer's defense in Mankato.
On you.
It's right here. Yeah. It's like, I've heard about you. I know you got a lot of money. You're a first-round pick. Show me what you can do.
Exactly.
And Laquan needs to get through that. And, again, I believe he will.
And our young DBs on the flip side also need to do that. Mackenzie Alexander, who's also impressed, the same holds true for him. Now, one thing that we don't seem to really worry about or talk much about, we just assume it's going to be good, is Bradford. And are you comfortable? I am comfortable with that. Sam had a great season last season, coming here 8 days in front of the start.
Yep.
Now with an off-season program in front of him, I'm totally cool with Sam. Are you?
Well, yeah. I mean, you and I with the Vikings game plan and the time we spend at Winter Park during the fall and winter months, we watch the offense and the coach's film and a lot of Sam Bradford, and we appreciate what he does. For me, I didn't genuinely appreciate how good Bradford was until the season ended and I started doing some work looking at the offense with no game on the weekend to get ready for it. And then with the way the offensive line was shook out because of injuries, the lack of potency in the running game, the fact that the running backs weren't breaking tackles, just everything that went into it, Peterson's hurt. Then to look back at exactly what Sam had in front of him and what he had to work with and what he did with it, I mean, it's sky's the limit for this guy.
Yep.
He might be unbelievably good this year.
Last thing before we wrap it up, this defense, I mean, they're going into their fourth year together kind of as the core group with Mike Zimmer, and it looks like it on the practice field. It's fast, it's fluid, it's organized, not a lot of mistakes. And I just feel really good about it.
Well, you know, me as Pollyanna Allen, Wabi as Vikings.com, you know, Vox and Pox, according to a retired scribe. we're not going to sit here and go 14-2, 13-3. I'm going to tell you this right now, and you tweet me or email me at the end of the season. If it stays healthy, the Minnesota Vikings have the best defensive line in the entire NFL. There is not a better defensive line than what I know these guys will do, what I've seen, and what I know is coming this next season with the way some guys are going to move around. Now you put Datone Jones and Will Sutton into the three technique spot. You get Tom Johnson, who's solid, Linval's best 4-3 nose tackle in the NFL. Griffin and Hunter. Griffin, he has hit his peak. I mean, he has crescendoed to where he's going to be super good for years. Daniil is still going that way. This is the best defensive line in the NFL overall. It's super deep. That doesn't mean the team's going to go 14-2 simply because of this defensive line. But with this defensive line protecting the linebackers and applying pressure to help the corners, you'll see this defensive line, unbelievable.
A lot about which to be optimistic, including those two guys right over there, Nate. Look, it's Michael Floyd and Kyle Rudolph. They're going to kick someone's tail in the red zone.
Yeah.
We can get to 21 points a game
or so. How about that guy right there?
We're going to be good.
I was just saying good things about you on camera. End of the season, they're all going to be saying Everson, best defensive line in the NFL.
Everson Griffin.
Yeah, this is not Homer cheerleader stuff. This is fact.
Yeah.
Bestie. You see those arms?
Yeah.
I mean, very, very reminiscent
like
of Wabi
together.
And I.
Both of them
together.
Hey,
look, here, hold on. I'm going to change your lives, ladies. My tricep muscle. Pretty good.
All right. I think we've done enough damage. So that's it. The Between the Lines post-minicamp
that was
report
lively.
Brought to you by Gatorade.
Cameraman Nathan Vaughn with the sexy long hair.
Yeah.
God, we missed each other.
He does this with his long hair.
Yeah, I know.
I like to do it, too.
He flips it back.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yep, and then he touches your arm when he's like, I know, right?
Thanks, everyone, for watching. We'll be back with more content all off-season, so don't go away. But for now, this Between the Lines post-minicamp report brought to you by Gatorade is over.